notre quotidien. C'est sur Taïwan.
Society 13 and Progzilla Radio proudly present Frog Watch with your friend and host, Big Tony Rousek, a.k.a. Frog's Watch.
Our opening track this week was a song called Industry by a band called The Far Meadow, a UK project. And we're going to be featuring them here on this program today. That song came from their album, Given the Impossible, which was released in 2016. And welcome back to Prague Watch. I am your friend, Big Tony, the Prague Squatch. And we have a little bit of an unscheduled departure. Well, not really unscheduled. So I sort of had to shuffle around the order of things that I wanted to do. I know on my last program I laid out a timetable of the next few weeks, but I had to kind of shuffle and rethink on the fly because I realized that I had been talking to Keith Buckman of the UK band The Far Meadow, and we had scheduled a conversation, and we really wanted to try to get the show on in order to help promote a gig that they have coming up on the 25th of February in the north of London in England. So for our UK listeners, there will be details for that coming up later. I believe it's at the Boston Room. So I had to think on the fly and come up with something quick. So here we go. Anyway, I did have a nice conversation with Keith, and we're going to listen to some of that. And I also am going to play some great music from The Far Meadow. But first, let me give you a little rundown on the band. The Far Meadow actually formed in 2012 in London. And they put out one album, Where Joys Abound, in December of 2012. But then they underwent some personnel changes, and we'll hear a little bit about that later. So anyway, the current lineup of the band looks like this. We have Margarita Alexandru on vocals, Dennis Warren on guitars, Elliot Min, keyboards and backing vocals, Keith Buckman on bass. He will be our guest. We'll be hearing from Keith in just a little bit. And Paul Bringlow on drums. So anyway, let's listen to some of that interview with Keith Buckman from the band. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. And let's talk about The Far Meadow here. You want to fill us in a little on your own musical background? You're Keith Buckman of Meadow. Yeah. You are the bass player?
Yes, yeah. I go back to the kind of 70s. I mean, I started off with sort of serious aspirations. Then I sort of went into a career in higher education, and I've been sort of in and out, sort of on the periphery of the music scene, really. But I've always had an interest in prog and sort of contemporary jazz and fusion and all sorts of things. I got sort of involved in a kind of Phil Collins tribute project in about 2001, and that kind of got me back into doing more live playing and things. And I've done a few sort of projects here and there, but I've been with the Far Meadow now for 5 years, well, just over 5 years now, and four of us in sort of like the core of the band, you know, we've been playing together that long, and I think we've got sort of a really tight thing going. Margarita's now been with us about 3 years now.
He's the vocalist, correct?
That's right, yes, okay. Yeah. And it's really happening now, and you know, starting to write some new material. A lot of the album, Given the Impossible, was kind of written before Margarita joined, and so although she was able to take some of the work and make it her own and sort of develop the lines and the performance, the stories and everything like that were kind of given to her to work with. Mm-hmm. But now she's able to make you know, with the new material, a writing contribution right from the beginning. So we're really excited about how that's going to develop.
It'll be her first full album with the band where she'll really be able to contribute.
Absolutely, yes. Although, you know, we shouldn't sort of underestimate the significance of the contribution that she made to Given the Impossible. It was, she shaped a lot of the vocals in a way that she could deliver and tell stories. And she did a fantastic job. We're really pleased with what she's done there.
Okay.
And I mean, because I wrote quite a lot of most of the lyrics for the album, and at the time that I wrote them, we didn't even know whether we were going to have a male or a female vocalist. You know, we had a period of about a year when we were writing the stuff, when we were sort of trying to find the right singer for what we did, and so it was great to have Margarita on board, and as I said, she's done a fantastic job.
So you guys did do one album before Given the Impossible, correct?
That's right, yes. I mean, it was kind of recorded before I joined and before Dennis joined.
Okay.
It was they were still mixing it at that time, and the idea was to, you know, promote it and get sort of a sort of following on that one. Unfortunately, Nock, the lead singer, he decided to pull out of the project, and so that kind of we weren't able to give the album as full a promotion as we'd have liked to have done at the time. I think it's a good work. It shows a lot of Elliot's writing and playing and Paul's terrific drumming. There were contributions there made by Paul Malatrat, the former bass player, and John, the guitarist, and Nock as well, of course, and the vocals.
Do you guys still play any of that material in your live set?
We kind of have some things up our sleeve from that album, but we don't really. There are some more items from the sort of previous lineup that we had. In fact, that lineup. Before that time, there was an incarnation of the band called Blind Panic. And we play a couple of Blind Panic songs. In fact, we did a couple this weekend because we had an opportunity to play an extended set. So we've got this epic called Travelogue, which we played, and another sort of fairly compact sort of type piece called Mud. And they're quite fun to do. We quite enjoy playing those. So they're kind of... We started kind of recording them because we never actually got a studio version of them. So we might have a go at sort of releasing those as a bonus or something like that.
The stuff from Given the Impossible.
Yes,
Is brilliant work, by the way. I love that album.
Thank you.
I think I hear so many different influences on there. I think that's one of the reasons why I find your sound very fresh. Do you have any favorite influences that you would care to expand upon, or what were some of your favorite bands or albums when you were coming up?
I liked the kind of Canterbury thing. I was a big fan of sort of Hatfield and the North and National okay. Health, Soft Machine, and all of those kinds of bands. Of course, Yes, Genesis, and all sort of like the usual suspects. You know, Emerson, Lake and Palmer. But I spent quite a lot of time listening to contemporary jazz. So I was kind of into Pat Metheny Group and a lot of the fusion kind of guitarists and you know, people like John Scofield and Mike Stern. And, you know, it was, you know, I kind of was interested in the compositional form, you know, in jazz and what people were kind of doing with that. And of course, you know, sort of like the, you know, songwriters, you know, Joni Mitchell and, you know, John Martin and mm-hmm. I think we're all kind of have an interest in that thing. I think one of our sort of, I suppose, defining things, Elliot, our keyboard player, is he's a big fan of Eddie Jobson and the UK
sure.
albums.
Love that stuff.
I think there's there's a lot about the kind of voicings that he used that kind of references that late 70s, you know, when the Polly Moog was kind of coming in and that. So you can kind of hear that, you know, there's people like, you know, Dave Stewart with Bruford and all of that kind of thing from around about that time. And, I saw Bruford play with... you know, Alan Holdsworth and people that I know. Dennis, our guitarist, is a big fan of, you know, Alan Holdsworth. And
sure.
Steve. But, you know, basically, I think we just like to listen to good music. I personally kind of didn't listen to prog for only sort of kind of incidentally, and then I started getting into sort of like the Gavin Harrison period, Porcupine Tree. You know, those sort of later Porcupine Tree albums, mm-hmm. and I started sort of. I saw Transatlantic at the Shepherd's Bush Empire on the Whirlwind tour, and cool. that was absolutely monumental.
Yeah,
I mean, and that really inspired me to really get. I thought to myself, I really must try and play, you know, something like this. And it wasn't long afterwards I was saw the advert for the Far Meadow, and I'm very glad that I took that step.
Yeah.
And made the call. You know,
Roy Nishtold inspired another. Yeah, I had him on my program a couple of weeks ago. It was fantastic to talk to him. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I hadn't really heard the Flower Kings or Spots Beard or anything like that. And you know, I'm a big fan of the Flower Kings now and all the sort of related acts, you know, sort of Car Mechanic and Agents of Mercy and all that kind
sure.
of stuff.
Sure, yeah.
It's brilliant. And Jonas Weingold, you know, I really rate his bass playing very, very highly. I have big respect for his playing.
Sure.
He seems to be able to cover everything. He's just got such a wonderful sound and a presence on everything he does.
Yeah, Car Mechanic's underrated. Not enough people listen to that band.
Yeah, no, it's just terrific work.
Yeah. And how about another great Far Meadow tune? This one's called Dinosaurs. Once again, it's from the album Given the Impossible, released in 2016. Just to reiterate, that was Dinosaurs by The Far Meadow from their album Given the Impossible, released last year.
When one Mellotron just isn't enough, call in the professionals. Progzilla, proving that prog isn't just for dinosaurs.
How about if we listen to one from the first Far Meadow album, Where Joys Abound, in 2012? The name of this song is Ancient Foundations.
and optimism prickles at my brain. My mind can't bring myself to pull the plug. Sorcery burns now within my foundation. Drawing the spell cards, but powerful ministrations.
Once again, that was Ancient Foundations by The Far Meadow from their first album, Where Joys Abound, which was released in 2012. It's also a tune that Keith says is one of his favorites from the first album. Now let's get back to some more of that interview.
So you guys, you have some stuff coming up. You have an evening with Blind Elephant Music coming up. Is that correct?
Yeah, with Bad Elephant. Yeah, we're doing the... it's at the... Boston Music Rooms in Tupnell Park in North London, and we're playing alongside Concordat and the Ruby Goldberg Machine, and we're really looking forward to that. Concordat share a drummer with the Gift, so we were talking to Neil at the weekend.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I know of them. Yeah. I've played them on my show before. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you know, we're looking forward to this one. I went to last year's, which was really good, which the Gift were working on, and We Are Kin and Tom Slatter, and it was just a lovely sort of evening, sort of showcasing. You know, I think there were some really wonderful and exciting artists on Bad Elephant, and
indeed,
it's great to be part of that. That family, almost, you know, there's just a great vibe going on in the sort of like the banter that the various artists have on there, you know.
Yeah, it's a great thing David Elliott has done there. I've spoken to so many Bad Elephant artists over the years. Godfrey, you know, being the first one, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's going to be you guys. You said Concordat and Rube Goldberg.
Yes.
Anyone else?
No, it's just three.
Okay, three.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe Tom would be showing up. I know he's just putting out an album. Just got a promotional copy of it. There's a lot of joking going on about that, you know, that it's, I guess it's been some time coming. Maybe there's been a little bit of jibing going back and forth among some of the people I know on Facebook. Yeah. I know Tom, and I know David Elliott on Facebook anyway, you know?
Yes. Yeah. No, it's great fun. And everybody's looking forward to hearing this, you know.
Oh, I am. Yeah, I'm gonna listen to it tonight. I think supposedly a couple of people. I know Martin Hutchinson over there. He already listened to it. And he said it was Tom on another level. So that should be interesting.
that's going to be scary, I think.
yeah. So what else you guys got cooking? Another album coming out, or?
Yeah, well, we're writing new stuff, as I was saying, and. I can't really say much about it really, because the stuff's still sort of fairly early in its development. We've got sort of one almost full song, sort of fully structured. There's another one. I mean, this, when you say song, I mean these are kind of like 10-minute kind of pieces, you know. And I don't know. I mean, when we wrote Given the Impossible, we kind of started to develop a theme. I mean, we kind of sort of we want them to be self-standing songs to a certain extent, and they all have a story going through them. But there was a kind of theme that connected all the songs together. So I don't know, maybe something like that will emerge with the new stuff. Yeah, it's at the moment it's just trying to find the time to get together and write. And you know, once we've got the next the showcase out of the way, I think we've got haven't got that many bookings coming up in the year, although hopefully that will that might change. But we will just keep writing and starting to put some stuff together. I think what we were able to do with the with Given the Impossible, which we didn't do with Where Joys Abound. Where Joys Abound was developed in the studio, I think, and I mean I wasn't part of that process, but the songs were recorded. And some of them were actually quite difficult to perform live, particularly with vocals, because there was a lot of interweaving with vocals. There was a song on there called Ancient Foundations, which really enjoyed playing that. But the vocals have got such a sort of a lot of overlapping stuff going on. And so we did have a bit of a problem trying to play that live, and I think we were quite keen with Given the Impossible to ensure that we could do a really good live performance of it. And I think the recording of Given the Impossible it's kind of benefited from that, because it kind of sounds live and has a kind of sort of live spontaneous feel to it, I like to think. And obviously we want to try and retain that. So hopefully we as we sort of get a few more opportunities to play, we've got something coming up in May that we can maybe showcase a couple of the new songs, and see how that goes.
All right, so the that Blind Elephant Music, Evening of Blind Elephant Music date, that's what, the 25th is what you said?
Yes. He says, checking his, 25th of February.
And again, the venue, just so that our UK listeners will know to look for that.
Yeah, that's the Boston Music Room, 178 Junction Road, London, N19, which is near Tufnell Park tube station. So this is fairly easy to get to.
Okay.
And, it's going to be a great evening. We're really looking forward to it.
It sounds like it. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
I don't know. Did you have anything else you wanted to ask me about?
Not really. It's kind of the same. You kind of answered some of the things I ask. Sometimes I like to ask about how bands approach the writing process, but I think you more or less covered that. And, your previous answer, was kind of explained to me what you're shooting for.
Yes, it's nice to be able to talk about that, because it kind of is also helpful to us to kind of understand the process and sort of reflect on sort of how we go about things. It's
I've done a little bit of this on the side, over the years, kind of like you. I had aspirations at one point and put them all aside, and I had kids and job, and I just even quit playing at all for a long time, and then I picked it up again, but I don't do much live. But I was always decent with getting things done on a computer. I would learn, I'm just the hard head that doesn't take no for an answer kind of guy. If I want to figure something out, I will, So I was just astounded by what you can do on a computer, because I used to, back in the 90s, we had kind of like a grunge kind of band and, made a little noise here in our town, but, we made an album, on 8-track, reel to reel and everything, And, it still holds up. It still sounds kind of decent, for what it is. But I'm just amazed at what you can do with a computer. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, this is quite, because one of the songs I'm kind of working on for the band it's actually sort of got a guitar pattern, and I just wanted to, you know, just put it down, and so I just did it on the piano roll on Logic, you know, I'll try, you know, it's kind of like a way of writing it musically, and I've done a bit of kind of like scoring and things like that, and had a go at sort of doing sort of like string quartet kind of stuff and things, and I think it's quite nice to kind of detach yourself from an instrument and actually sort of think about the sort of structure and sort of how the notes relate to each other in a different way. And I think there are all sorts of ways of approaching writing I don't like to kind of stick to the same formula. I kind of like to you know try and sort of work up from, you know, a pattern, or you know, start off with a lyric or start off with a melody line or something, mm-hmm. like that, see how that works. Or you know, sometimes you're just getting, you know, sitting down strumming a guitar or something like that, and you get inspired by a particular sequence or a particular thing that works.
Right.
I quite like writing with open tunings on a guitar. There's one I use which is quite odd, and it opens up a different kind of vocabulary for what you're doing. And
it does. I mean, I've done that myself, and then it's like you even have to sometimes figure, what note am I playing here? You know, it yeah. sounds right, but you know, what is it? You know, in the greater context of the song, you kind of need to know, you know, yeah. what key you're in or whatever. You know,
yeah.
And I found, you know, plugins. I have all these different keyboard things, you know, the ARP 2600, you know, emulator, and the old, you know, Moog modular, you know, you can pull out the patch cords and move them around. And I never even messed with that. But, you know, just going through the presets, I wrote a number of songs, you know, just because you put a sound on, you know, when I had time to just sit around and mess around with it, you put on a certain sound, you started playing a couple of notes that like took you somewhere. And the next thing you know, you've got, you know, some basic ideas for a song, you know.
Yeah. No, it's incredible how it doesn't really take a lot sometimes, you know. It's just little combinations of things that just suddenly work. And you know, I've woken up in the morning with things going. I mean, I had a bit of trouble sleeping last night because I had something going around in my head that I wanted to kind of use and develop, and I think that's that also shows, you know, if things do kind of stick in your head and you wake up with it in the morning, which I often do, you know, it's not even sort of stuff that you've written yourself, but it's something that, you know, one of the other guys might have written or something, you know, something Margarita brought to the band that we've been working up that kind of haunts me, and it's good, you know, and mm-hmm. you think, that's probably going to work, you know.
Yeah, worked its way into your head.
Yeah. So that's a good, I think, a good indicator of you know, something to use and develop and take forward.
Well, anything else? I don't want to take up too much of your time. You just got in from Holland, right?
Yeah. It's been a bit of a long drive, but no, I'm actually, because they did a recording off the desk, so I've got the files lined up to listen to. So
great.
I'm going to have a listen to that in a few minutes. And
maybe a live album? No?
Well, who knows? Who knows? But
otherwise, I guess I'll let you go.
Okay. Well, it's been lovely talking to you.
Yeah, same here. I appreciate you taking the time and...
Well, thank you very much for your interest in the band, and you know.
Yeah, I like the sound. It's a great sound. I look forward to hearing more. You know.
Yeah, we look forward to playing some more.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, I'll promote that gig for you, and as many songs as I can legally fit in the United States.
Before that special break.
Yeah. All right, Keith. I appreciate it, and you take care.
And you, Tony.
All right. Good talking to you.
Yeah. Take care.
All right, bye.
And here's an epic track called The Seamless Shirt. It's the album closer by The Far Meadow from their album Given the Impossible, released in 2016.
parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She was once a true love of mine.
She shall be a true love of mine.
That was the closing number from the Far Metal album, Given the Impossible, their 2016 release. So I hope you enjoyed listening in to my chat with Keith Buckman of the Far Metal. And for those of you in the UK, don't forget, on February 25th, there's that evening of Bad Elephant Music with the Far Metal, Rube Goldberg Machine, and Concordat. Should be a great evening. Check it out if you're in the area. So I hope you enjoyed.
Hello, good morning, good evening. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Radio Progzilla, which is being dishing you up red-hot progressive stuff at 24/7.
Like I said, guys, I am kind of winging it here, but I see I have the opportunity to do something here I've been meaning to do. Mike Oldfield recently released an album entitled Return to Omadawn. And it's really quite a nice piece of work and a great follow-up to the original album, Return to Form, from Mike, according to many reviews I've been reading. And I must say I have rather enjoyed the album myself. So, as it is a suite of two songs, kind of like his old albums back in the day when it was Side A and Side B, or Side 1 and Side 2, however you want to look at it. This is two long, over 20-minute compositions, which aren't easy to program into a regular Prog Watch program, but this week it looks like we have time to do it, so this is going to be Return to Omadawn Part 1 by Mike Oldfield. Once again, that lovely piece was Return to Omadhon Part 1 by Mike Oldfield from his Return to Omadhon album, which was just released last month, 2017 release. And that's about all I have time for. Well, actually, I have more time, but I don't know what to do with it because, like I said, I was kind of winging it this week. I wanted to make sure that I got in that feature on the Far Meadow in order to help promote their gig that's coming up on the 25th, the evening of Bad Elephant Music at the Boston Room in London, North London, I guess. So UK listeners, please keep that in mind. Oh, heck, let's close it out with one more from the Far Meadow. This is A Gentle Warrior, again from their Given the Impossible album last year, 2016. Thank you. My name's Morgan, and I've been a fan of progressive rock music since, well, since I was doing the old Easy Reader bits on the Electric Company. Well, I remember the first King Crimson and Gentle Giant albums like they were yesterday, but I digress. But if you're a fan of progressive rock music, you're not going to want to miss a single episode of Prog Watch. It's phantasmagorical. Tell them Morgan sent you.